Opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling.
We have new video from a crash that sent welterweight boxing champion Errol Spence Jr. to the intensive care unit. The crash ejected the boxer, but miraculously, he is expected to be okay.
TheBoxingBoys.com. It's been a miracle, and I'm a blessing from God that, you know, I haven't had anything serious that have been out for a year or two. It would have been, you know, ending my career. That none of them guys wish that I wasn't back so fast, but I am back, and I want to fight the top names in the division.
I have to ask you about your eye. We were all worried about you, but you had to pull out of the Manny Pacquiao fight.
I want to fight. Yeah, one eye. I got another eye.
WBC of IBF welterweight champion of the world.
That's why I sound back, and I told people I didn't want to come and fight.
You know, I've been getting a second chance at life. Now we're getting the third chance at boxing.
Nobody's worth a chance, Crawford. You know, there's big fish on this side, too, that, you know, I got to fry. Like I said, I'm going to get these belts over here. Then I'm going to come take Terrence Crawford belt because I said I'm going to be undefeated welterweight champion of the world.
FBS Promotions.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another Sunday morning of the Boxing Voice Radio. Spontaneous one, and boy, do we have a hot one planned for you. The way it turns out, I'm just not sure. If it can go down the way it's intended, you guys are going to be in store for not only a long show, but a very, very entertaining one with some hot guests in the boxing world. But Ringwalk Danny joined alongside with me. Good morning, champ. How are you?
Good morning, champ. How you feeling, brother?
I'm good. I'm good, man. Ready to get the
show on the road.
Or I was going to say the Burning Inferno, right? Is it the Burning Inferno or the Towering Inferno? The Towering Inferno in the studio. I mean, this is what we dreamed about, or at least I did, you know, big fight in Las Vegas, and to be able to have the winner and or someone that had anything to do with the fight in studio the very next day is ideal. So here we are. We will be having Sebastian Fondora, his father trainer, in the building, as well as the promoter, Samson Lewikovich. And if all goes well, we'll even get the sister and an opportunity to speak to her, who's 6-0 with 3 KOs, climbing up the ranks. Obviously, it's our morning afterthoughts, man. You had the ability to go home after the fight and kind of think about it, man. What are your thoughts waking up?
A lot to think about, given all the fights this weekend, all the fights yesterday. You know, it was a very entertaining night of fights on Showtime. Tony Harrison did a fantastic job, put out a fantastic victory. And the Sebastian Fondora, Erickson Lubin, to me, that is a early candidate for fight of the year. Lubin going down in round two. Sebastian with his relentless pressure, and then Lubin dropping Fondora late in the round before Kevin Cunningham had seen enough. So a lot to digest. Obviously, Fondora now the interim WBC and mandatory for the winner of Charlo Castaño next month.
So obviously, we all seen that there was some ice thrown at Kevin Cunningham. It's being said now that it was Lubin's team. There's different angles of the video. I believe Raging Babe posted some angles or someone. It's in our pre-pro. And also Ohio Runs Boxing posted some angles, and also posted when Charlo defeated and knocked out Lubin, you know, the same, you know, Team Lubin, not the same, but, you know, Team Lubin getting upset with what took place and throwing chairs at Charlo's family. So I think, you know, they need to control what's happening when Lubin fights, or actually when Lubin loses, because, you know, someone can end up in a really unfortunate situation. But nonetheless, it was a fantastic fight. I would agree with you. It can definitely go down as a fight of the year candidate just because of the back and forth nature of the knockdowns, the adversity, you know, just these guys were throwing big time punches in an elite level fight. And, you know, up until this point, I don't think we've seen anything on this level, this back and forth. So credit to both men. Hopefully Lubin recovers. There has not been any official announcement whether or not he has a broken orbital.
Well, actually, I was just going to announce that Mauricio Suleiman did say that he was extremely happy to learn that Erickson Lubin is safe and well. He acknowledged Lubin being a warrior with a huge heart who gave the world a sensational championship thriller against Sebastian Fundora. Congratulating them both. So Suleiman did not clarify whether or not there is any broken orbital or anything else for that matter on Lubin, but he did say that he is safe and well. So that obviously is what we would like to hear. That is, you know, great news. So
absolutely, man. But nonetheless, I'm excited to have Sebastian Fundora in here. I want to take a picture, obviously, with him after the show, like we do with all our guests. But this one's going to be interesting to see how, you know, the height, right? They say he's 6'5". Let's see if it's
are you going to get that gut punch on him?
On his Twitter, he has 6'6".
So. Okay, let's see if it's real 6'6", because, you know, sometimes it'd be fake on BoxRec.
Sometimes you get that, you know, that gut punch picture. You're going to try to cop one of those.
Yeah, of course. You got it.
Real quick before we get them in, though, we got New York Bullet with a super chat that says, "What up, TBV? What up to you?" And then we got LA the God that says, "Fight of the Year, Lee Wood, Mick Conlon, or Lubin Fundora."
See, and I will lean to Lubin Fundora because obviously they are more. They're more known on the world stage.
Not just that, right? Obviously, Lee Wood is the
WBA regular.
Regular.
So this is the same thing. This is the interim.
This is the interim. But what I was going to say was I felt that, I don't know, man.
It's not the same. Yeah, no matter how popular they want to make Lee Wood or Mick Conlon, they haven't gotten the TV time of Lubin or Fundora.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because I was going to say, you know, obviously, they were both back and forth fights. Official scorecards did have Lubin up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and with both men being knocked down, it was extremely close, you know. So definitely a fight of the year candidate. But we do have some guests in the green room, Nessa. Would you like to get them in?
Yeah, I'm texting Ryan to bring in Sebastian and the dad, and then we'll swap out and bring in Samson Lewikovic, the promoter, and the sister as well. I believe Gabriela Fundura is here as well. If you are a Patreon, you already know we have questions for you. Not only – watch the cameras there, big guy. Oh, my God, you are huge. That's like more than 6'6". That's like a 6'9". ¿Cómo está? Pleasure to see you, Samson. Thank you so much, first and foremost, for – doing this for us. We truly appreciate it. We truly appreciate you guys coming in on a Sunday. Pero Sebastian, how are you?
Great. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. Listen, I want to ask, though, because yesterday we were watching a fight and we weren't sure of your nationality. Because I think you said Argentine, right?
I don't know why I thought he was Argentine, maybe because of all the fighters Samson, you know, deals with from out there. But
and I think I thought maybe Panamanian, and someone said, no, half Mexican. I'm like, uh-oh, we're going to have to ask him.
People were saying half Mexican, half Cuban. I'm like, oh.
Yes, I heard half Mexican. It's half Mexican, half Cuban.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. So who's the combination? Who's Cuban and who's Mexican?
My father's Cuban and my mother's Mexican.
Yeah. You know, us Caribbeans, we're lovers, so I can see it.
just because it was recently announced, Cuba for the first time in 60 years, you know, allowing professional boxing, you know, how happy does that make you? Not just for the sport.
Well, maybe not him, more your father, right?
Honestly, I don't even know about anything about Cuba when it comes to boxing. I know they're good, actually, but I know if it's more competition, that's what I'm happy about, the competition coming in. But other than that, I guess it's good for the boxing world.
Okay. I love your post-fight interview. I love that, you know, you acknowledged the interim, but you said, I want the real belt. I don't know exactly your words, but, you know, you were direct enough because there are a lot of people that get content with interims or regulars. And, you know, I love that your hunt for the title isn't over. But I just want to congratulate you. That was an amazing fight, man. I mean, you guys
Thank
went
you so much.
Back and forth. We are huge Lubin fans, like huge Lubin fans. Like I've driven 1,400 miles to see him in his camp before the first loss. And when he was signed to Tyson, They were in this studio fight week. So you really broke my heart because I had to pick him. I had to pick him, you know.
Yeah,
I know him for so long.
Yeah.
I have to pick him. But, man, you impressed me. Your inside work. I mean, you would say this is your best performance?
I think so. Everybody was saying this was going to be the hardest fight. So we got the job done. We got it in spectacular form. So, yeah, I would say this is my best performance.
For you specifically, though, why? What did you think you did better than normal, or what was different about this fight that you could label it your best performance?
It's just we proved a lot of people wrong. We proved a lot of people wrong, and that just it helped me with my, I guess, ego or whatever, you know.
Okay.
It just helped me more mentally, you know. I didn't need it. I knew we were going to do this. The whole team knew this was going to happen, but it's nice to show everybody else.
You knew you were going to stop them.
We knew we were going to do it. We knew we could do it.
Okay.
What was going through your mind? Because obviously there was a lot of success with those uppercuts, and, you know, Erickson was trying to find ways to get on the inside, landing some body shots. When he came on late in the fight, and just walk us through it, because watching it, I thought you got knocked down. But in the post-fight interview, you were saying how you're like, all right, it's time for me to take a knee, and you did so. What was going through your mind? How hurt were you during that moment?
Yeah, it was a knockdown. It's considered a knockdown with the knee. Yeah, when the glove touched the ground. But we took that knee. We took it on purpose. We took it on purpose because we were getting hit with a couple clean shots, and it's more than I liked. I was like, you know what? I need to recollect myself. Took that knee. We got back up. We were fine again.
The knee in question is this moment right here. I think Ryan is blocking part of the TV for Sebastian, but moment right there, was there any nerves getting back up, or did you know how close to the end of the round it was? Did you know that there was only a few seconds left in the round, or were you confident like, okay, I'm going to make it to see the end of the round?
And I didn't know what time it was in the round. I never look at the bell when I'm training. You shouldn't look at the bell because then you're just waiting for it to be finished. And that's like a loser mindset, you know? But no, I knew. I was thinking was recollect yourself and get back into the fight. And I did.
I got to ask because I just had to get glasses because of old age. Are those prescriptions or reading? Full prescription?
Full prescription.
So are you near or farsighted?
I think nearsighted.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just had to ask. So watching this knockdown live, I wouldn't have known that you were still in the fight enough to realize, let me take a knee. I thought that was just, you know, accumulation, a knockdown based on accumulation. To hear the post-fight, to go back and watch it, I actually can see it now. You know, I know maybe some still question whether or not, you know, you chose to take the knee, but I feel like after listening to the post-fight, rewatching it, you can see you take that knee, which makes you very mature and aware in the ring. And I just want to know, when did that start? Do you think that you picked that up this fight, or has that your composure been always something that was with you throughout your career?
Well, it's just like instinct, you know. It's boxing instinct. You want to keep getting hurt, or do you want to survive this fight, or do you want to win? And I wanted to win. Whether it was taking a knee for a second and coming back in, that's fine. I'll take this round. I'll take this round off, I guess. I'll give him this round, but I'll come to the next round and I'll stop him the next round. We kind of did it, not the next round, but the round after. So,
did you know that they brought in Jermonte Clark for sparring and to help them out in camp for this fight?
I figured that out, I think, the week of the fight. So I was like, you know, I couldn't care less. Jermonte Clark's not me. tall southpaw, but he's not me. We don't fight the same.
But you guys had that tight fight where some believe he deserved the win.
Yeah, some people say that. I think I deserve the win, but it is what it is. We don't fight the same. He's a boxer. I'm more of a fighter. And it was a good, I guess, good camp for him to bring him in. But, you know, we're not the same fighter.
Now, how long, Samson, has Sebastian been sanctioned by the WBC?
What do you mean?
How long has he been in their rankings? How long has
I would say over a year.
Over a year. So, because obviously, when you win a fight of this caliber, the detractors show up, or the diehard fans of Lubin show up. So now there is a narrative that there wasn't drug testing for this fight. So I wanted to ask you, was there? Because this is a WBC fight.
There was no drug testing, and I was asking for it the whole time. I'm fine. You could test me right now. They test me after the fight. They test me for peeing blood after the fight, but what good is that then? You know, the fight already happened.
Yeah.
I'm ready to take a test whenever.
Yeah, one of the media members, I seen him, and I'm just – but that's his thing. I'm not going to say his name. I am going to have him in studio. I'm sure we'll bring it up. And, you know, he's like, well, they had no drug testing, and Fandora didn't take off his gloves. Look at him. He's taking pictures with his gloves. So I'm a straight shooter, so I'd rather say it to you first before, you know, it's on Twitter or in articles, and get your response right here in studio, just so that you do have – to get in front of these kind of statements.
You know what's funny? Me and my sister were laughing about it because when we went to wrap our hands, they watched us. Galarza came in.
Jason Galarza, the father.
Yeah, the father came in. Galarza came in. You know Galarza for a long time.
Yep.
He came in. He watched us wrap our hands. Everything was fine. He touched the padding and everything. Then he watched us wrap our gloves on. And when they went to go wrap their gloves, we didn't send anybody because we trust them.
Hmm.
Why would they cheat us? So why would we
cheat them? It's a dangerous sport.
Of course, but, you know.
So
we're professional. At this level, there's no reason to cheat. You're already up there.
So the last one is, he's way too tall, too big to be making 154 naturally.
Mm-hmm.
They need to drug test him. 6'6", he shouldn't be fighting in that division.
What type of drugs will make me...
Diuretics. Diuretics help you lose weight.
With this question right there, doesn't it show you that I don't know nothing about that crap?
I mean, I hear you. I dream to be in this situation, you know, to have a chair to give a champion the ability to answer these tough questions and be the one asking them. So, you know, it's no ill will or anything like that. But, you know... Rather than let someone else ask you these questions, I want to find out myself and put it out there to the boxing world. So you are open to drug testing, and you were seeking it for this fight, you're saying?
Yep. The last.
So it didn't happen. Why, you believe?
I don't know. We'll do the next fight. I was supposed to do it for the last fight, too, with Garcia, and we didn't do it. The only time we did VADA testing was with Cota.
Wow, that's strange.
I don't know.
The other names are bigger than Cota.
You would imagine, especially with this fight. I would imagine with this fight, but it didn't happen. We're open to it. I'm at home all the time. My boxing gym is right behind my house. So
does it give you more confidence? Is it like an ego stroke that they are now, you know, making excuses for your power and your dominant fashion?
That's always going to be a thing. They're always going to be blaming on the height. His height beat me. Or something. The height didn't punch you.
Oh, I've seen that too. I've seen that too. You're a height bully.
Yeah, the height bully. Yeah.
I so love
like,
it though.
It's things like that. They're never going to leave, so it doesn't bug me. I'm just learning to live with it.
I'll be honest. When Julio Cesar Chavez fought at 160 pounds, he... was notorious for weighing over that limit after rehydration. The highest he got was like 188. I don't care. I think it was 182, excuse me. I don't care as long as you can make the weight. Ponce de Leon stood at, 130 and 135, like practically his whole career. If you can make the weight, you should be allowed to make that weight. Like Errol Spence gets kind of criticized for being big in his division, but he's sacrificing to make that weight.
That's the rules. I don't jump up crazy. I probably fight night, I'll pair with 161, 162. Nothing crazy. I don't jump up no 170, 180, taking advantage. This is the weight I walk at. You know, it's never been a problem for me. The day it's a problem, then you guys will see me move up. I won't question it or nothing. You'll see me move up to 160, or say it's a bigger jump, I'll move up to 168 because my body changes. But right now, God has me at 154, and I'm going to stay at 154.
How long you think you can hold it?
For as long God wants me to be here.
Well, so you can win the full title and defend, in your opinion, in your mind. That's how you envision it?
I would hope so.
Beautiful. So speaking of the Castaño and Charlo fight, is there a style you prefer? Obviously, as a fight fan, I'm assuming a Fundura and Castaño is a lot more explosive because it's like you guys want to come together.
Yeah, it's just it's how long they could last, because I know we have the power to get both of them. So it's whatever. Whoever wins those belts, if we can have next, I'm taking it.
So some of the criticism is he's so tall but doesn't use his height. He's so long but doesn't use his reach. Why are you not more traditionally a Lennox Lewis style, a Tommy Hearns, not Paul Williams because he didn't use his height and reach, but why don't you use your attributes to the best of your ability?
It's just something
according to society, because obviously you're successful using your style, not what people think you should
do. Like, it's just the same thing with like careers. Like, people go to college and they get a degree and then they go and they become something big in the world, or people don't go to college and they still become something big in the world. It's my choice. It's the way I like to fight, and it gets the job done always. So why change something that's already good?
So you've always been a banger, in your opinion.
Yeah, I trust my power.
How many amateur fights did you have?
I had over like 100. A lot of amateur. I've been boxing competing since I was 8 years old.
Do you remember the amount of losses?
Yeah, I had a couple of losses. I lost my first fight. So. you get used to your body, and that's what I'm starting to understand now. How to control my body and win these fights.
Obviously, winning last night put you in position. You got the interim title, you know, with you now, but it put you in position for the winner of Charlo Castaño. Stylistically, who do you think would be best for you, and how do you see the second fight play out between them?
Thank you for doubling back. He did an answer.
Well, either way, either of them. I couldn't care less who wins. I'll fight whoever. I'll fight one. And then I'll fight the next one for the next fight. You know, whoever wins, I would want to fight next, obviously, because they would have the belts. But I couldn't care less who I fight. I don't care if I have advantage in either or. I would just want to fight the champion himself.
Would you make of their first fight last summer? I was there. It reminded me a lot of your fight last night. A lot of back and forth. You know, one guy would do good, really good, and that same round it would turn back around. Similar to the round, you know, later on in the fight where you got knocked down, you were doing very well in that round. Just curious, what'd you make of that first fight, though?
It was a good fight. I only saw the highlights of it, really, but from what I saw, I felt like Charlo has more power, and with the second fight, I think it's going to make the difference. All he has to do is catch him again, and he'll get the job done. But, you know, Castaño, maybe he comes in more condition this time. Maybe he brings a little bit more dog out. He can get the job done too. So we'll see what happens.
Are you one to a lot of fighters? It's very different. Are you one to watch a lot of film on your opponents?
I never watch any film on anybody.
Any film?
I couldn't care less.
So you've never seen Lubin fight?
That's why when you asked me with Charlo and Castaño, who would I want to fight? Because my strategy or whatever, I couldn't care less. I'm going to do what I need to do.
But you've never seen them fight? Not study tape. Have you seen them fight?
I see the highlights. The highlights, but it's nothing like.
So who watches film?
My father.
Okay.
My father.
And then
we have a game plan. We always have a game plan for everything. We're not going there dumb, but we I'm not the one who does it.
Yeah, no, I'm just asking.
My father does everything. I just listen to him.
Everybody does things differently, and that's why, because it's weird, like, to me, when you say you don't watch film, I'm like, oh, wow. But then we have other, you know, you're not the first fighter to say that. And then we have other fighters come in, like, I just watched their last fight. You don't need to watch anything other than their last fight. I'm like, what if their last fight, the guy he's fighting has a different style? You know, so it's all these questions.
It takes two to tango.
But you said you've been competing since eight. What got you into the sport?
My family, my father, my older brother. My older brother was a professional fighter too before me. My father was a professional fighter. Just watching them train made me want to join the sport and see what was it about.
Have you ever sparred Benavidez, being as though that this great man next to me has also found David Benavidez and brought him to this sport? And you guys are just so tall, I figure. So you have.
Yeah, yeah. We every time we spar him, we go up to Big Bear. We spar each other. It's good work. Great work. He's a great guy. Yeah.
So what would you say if you had to put a number on the amount of rounds you've done with Benavidez?
I've done 12 rounds straight with him.
Total, though, like throughout the time you've known him, or was it only one time, one camp?
No, I think with two camps. Okay. The one he fought, I think it was Porky.
Medina?
Yeah, Medina. And then when he fought, what was his last fight? Who did he fight last?
Oh, that was the bubble
the
fight.
The one he fought
no,
last?
No, 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 that was down here. It was a last-minute replacement. Fuck, who was it?
Davis.
Not the Columbia, no?
No, Davis.
Davis, yep, no. Kyron Davis. Davis. What's his last fight?
In Arizona.
Maybe it was that one.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. Dan, look, my own chat saying I'm hating on you because I asked you those questions.
Nah, I know, I understand you.
Hey, oh, Dan, no, TBV's hating on Fundura. No, I'm not. I'm just, listen, these are things that are out there.
You're heartbroken. This is the problem.
Ah! He did say it.
I take it.
Man, I mean, look, you've seen his face.
Boxing.
That's
boxing. We get punched.
Yeah, but it's going to be historical because it's a few faces that ended up like that. You know, you got like Rock, Haseem Rahman, but that was a headbutt. You know, oh, my God, Tio looked bad, too. You seen Tio after the Gambosis fight?
Yeah, but that was just more cuts, if anything. Yeah.
I hope, man. I hope that there's no orbital bone broke damage
not, yeah.
there.
Well, I saw him in the lobby. I saw a little bit in the lobby, shook my hand. But we knew each other for a long time, so, you know, it's a... It's business in the ring, but once you get out, it's, you know, it's no reason to hold
any animosity.
There seem to be people in the stands, seemingly, apparently from Lubin's side, but that were upset with the stoppage, specifically Coach Kevin Cunningham stopping the fight. Did you think that was the right, or do you think it should have been stopped sooner? Like, what were your thoughts?
No, going into that last round, I saw his face. His face was swollen up a little bit. I was wondering if he could see out of those eyes. And him calling that after him coming back to the round, it was the right choice. I think it was.
I was surprised, and Nestor and I said it watching the fight. We were both surprised that they didn't get a doctor to look at him at any point.
I saw that round, too. You can see, obviously, his face, but what made me notice it more was the ref. You could see the ref looking at him, like looking at his face, like double-taking. So I don't think if Kevin didn't stop it that round, I think the doctor would have came in that round.
Let me tell you what I saw. When Lubini was walking halfway already, he had in his mind to stop the fight. Cunningham. And he's my dear friend. I love him. And he did the right thing. But the people who screaming that is the wrong way is because he never be in the ring. Yeah. So
I'm glad you brought that up. Do you guys know that they threw ice at Cunningham for stopping the fight?
Yeah, that's uncalled for. You know, they let the coach do
his thing. Who threw it?
People
in the stands.
The coach knows what's best about his fighter. I mean, he's the coach. He's the one leading the whole team. But, you know, people have their opinions. Maybe we lost some money. Well, we know, you know, it's more emotional, if anything. But, you know, you saved Lubin. He did save Lubin. He needed that. You know, there's no reason to take extra punishment, especially in this sport.
And Cunningham, honestly, is one of the best trainers in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I give him all the credit. And it's very hard because I know how much he loves Lubin. But I believe that he saved his career. So all these people that he throw ice, which I didn't know, shame of him. Shame of each one of them.
Samson, you're the only one that can answer this because I know it's going to come up. Lubin has been in four, maybe this is maybe the fifth eliminator. So obviously now that he lost, people are going to say, why did Lubin have to have so many eliminators? Do you know why?
Well, let me put it this way. I don't believe he have a four or five. I believe it's only two.
Would this one be in the second or the third?
This is my fourth eliminator.
What?
This is my fourth eliminator, yep. This is my third WBC eliminator.
Wow.
Yeah. Why? Why? Explain. Well, teach us.
Okay. No, the situation is like that. When you have a great champion, so the sanctioned bodies, you want to have the best challenger.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't eliminate it because the TV like it too. And the people like it. So it's an elimination. Knowing, like an example, he did the Fundora an elimination in WBA. But he worked for the WBC. Whatever it was the best for him and what he hoped or loved. So I believe the sanction body, when you do elimination, is very good for the public.
Oh, yeah.
But you're very close to be a champion anyway. So, and now respecting of the next fight for Sebastian, I can tell you that it would be is four sanction bodies that each one you have already a mandatory. So how you choose out of four the mandatory? Like
well, isn't there an order? I've interviewed Mauricio Suleiman, and each sanctioning body takes a turn.
I would have thought it was who got there first, right? That's what I would have thought.
What do you mean by that?
By like Sue's the WBO limited, mandatory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got there before me, no? I just now became the WBC mandatory. So that's why I thought. That's what I thought.
I believe that the winner will be with Zoo, the Australian.
They're going to go Zoo next?
Yeah, because it's 2 years number one.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So, look, I need to keep a young...
But don't you think you won the bigger fight, though? I mean, he beat Terrell Gachet, who Lubin already beat.
Yeah, but it's just like, I guess... He's in line first, right? He just got there first. It is what it is.
Man, how old are you?
24.
Pretty mature, patient guy, man.
Look, it's not...
Four eliminators and you still are like, huh, he got there first. It's like, wow, okay.
No, I'll have my time.
You know what it is? He's not a needy fighter. He's an example for all the fighters that he lives in his house. He doesn't go to parties, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. Doesn't do nothing that many champs doing. Doesn't have too many friends, but the friends that he have is the right ones. But how many champions that he have hundreds of friends, when he lose, even his soul doesn't follow him. He's alone. Mm-hmm. And this happened with one of my guys, that is Jason Rosario. He used to have hundreds of friends, and now that he lost, he have nobody. The only one that he have is his family and his promoter, because I never let him go anyone that he lose. So it's part of the family tradition, put it that way. So there is the reason that it's not a needy fighter that he need to. I don't want to put examples or mention name, but many of the great champions is totally broke.
Mm.
And that is he need the championship fight, like, to make money or to keep money and pay his dues that he owned. The other one is David Benavides. He doesn't need Canelo because he doesn't spend the money with friends. You know, invest his money. So when anybody say everybody want a paycheck, David Benavides doesn't give a shit about the money. He told me that. And exactly the same thing is with Fundora. What he want is to be busy. And when he comes, he's done. This is what happened in that cow.
So we have some questions from the people, but I actually have one more for you. I think it was yesterday, before the fight, people were making picks on Twitter. I don't know if you know Michelle Rosado.
Yes, I know him very well.
She said something like, I'm going to go with Sebastian Fundora because Samson Lewikovic is usually right on the people that he signs. If you sign someone, you're invested in that person. And most of your guys have become champions. Have they all become champions?
No, not everyone, because, you know, the only perfect guy or the only perfect is God.
Mm-hmm.
And God did not allow me to be perfect.
But you have found some good talent. So, you know, I just wanted to tell you that everyone is recognizing, you know, if you sign someone, it's usually for good reason. Where did you find Fandora?
Well,
or how did you find him?
I need to give him credit to his father. I need to tell you the story.
Oh, tell me.
The father called me so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you know what? I saw the picture of your son. He's so fragile. I cannot spend my
demasiado
money.
Flaco.
I'm very, you know, I'm so happy that he proved me wrong. And the father said, you know what? I pay for him. You put it on, I pay. You don't need to spend your money. I said, okay, don't pay, but let me see. So I put it, the first one, he was in Vegas, correct?
Yes.
And he was with Anthony.
James Tony.
Yeah. Anthony Tony.
Mm.
And now he's fighting a cruiserweight. Can you imagine the build of this kid? And almost, you know, he didn't fought for at least 2-3 years after that.
Because same thing happened there, and we broke his orbital.
The father, Freddy, that's right. And Freddy Fondora, the father of Sebastian, he told me, you know what? I want my son to have experience. Can you take it to your countries and fight there? So I took him to Uruguay, and then I took him to Argentina on the same month. And then he come back with a lot of experience. And I believe that sometimes you need to do these kind of trips to learn things. And slowly and surely, there you go. We have a champ in the house.
It's funny you bring that up, right? Because, Sebastian, I want to ask you. He takes you to Uruguay. He takes you to Argentina. You go the distance, both fights, right? You come back. And then it was like knockout after knockout after knockout. I'm curious, what was it about those fights? You know, like, what did you learn? Because, you know, clearly you went the distance and then you come back and you just go on, you know, on a knockout streak.
You want to know the honest truth about those two fights?
What's that?
I hurt my left hand.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was, but I did learn a lot. Samson put me with tough opponents over there, and I got great experience. Coming back, I fought my first fight with PBC, and I displayed myself for the first time in front of a couple fans, and that's where it really all started.
Now, I'm curious because in those two fights, it was a 3-week turnaround. You fought like the Thanksgiving weekend, and then you fight like mid-December, 3 weeks later. What do you do during those 3 weeks, right? People talk about training camps and stuff being 7-8 weeks. What was that time period like for you from one fight to another?
My dad always tells me we don't live in a training, but we don't have a training camp. We live it. We live it. My gym is my house. You know, all I have to do is step out in the backyard and work out. I mean, that's all I do. My gym is my backyard.
So it's like Robert Guerrero, like when his dad, you know, or rather Bones Adams gym. So you're in Coachella though, right?
Yes, I'm in Coachella.
We're going to have to take the trip. I want to see you train,
for sure,
man.
For sure.
Now I'm like, because, you know, you didn't look this good. Let's just be real. Like, you know, you had the Jermonte Clark fight and,
experience. We learned.